It comes down to a system of thinking. What do I mean by that? It's not about a product. It's about a process. If you understand if money can move in and out of asset classes, it will stay ahead of taxes. It will stay ahead of inflation, lost opportunity, cost, fees, and risk. And it's important for you to get that because you're not taught that every day. Every single day, somebody's coming at you with a new financial product or a new investment strategy, but they're really not connecting the dots. I got with me my partner, David Harder, today, and we're going to talk about how to become your own bank in 2023. There's a lot of good information on TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. At the end of the day, what's important to understand is, as good as that information is, what does the execution side of that look like? And Dave, we've been doing this a long time.
Yes.
And we've seen people say, hey, become your own bank. And then they'll sell a 20-pay product with no buildup of cash value in the first year, right? Yeah. And that means they make the highest commission possible on the product, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, second time I said it, talk to us a little bit about what that looks like from a product standpoint, but ultimately from a system of thinking standpoint.
Sure. Okay. Well, the first, it actually starts with the system of thinking, right? You know, because when you're coming into that strategy, you're unlearning the things that you were taught and force fed. And that's, and it's everywhere, you know, where people are taught to buy term insurance, invest the difference, put money into a savings account. How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Right. How's that working out? Because the inflation rate in the US is north of 8%.
Bam.
CPI plus food and energy is north of 10.
Bam.
44-year highs on that. And yet the banks average about 0.65% interest.
Shazam.
It's dreadful.
And by the way, we have a our national debt is $31 trillion.
Yeah.
Our GDP is $24 trillion. So we're $7 trillion in the hole. They're printing more money.
Yeah.
And if they're printing more money, go back to the banks and their tier one capital, which really is bank owned and corporate owned life insurance.
Right.
So why not just model what they do?
Well, because, you know, it doesn't get advertised, honestly.
And I think personally why it doesn't get advertised is because that if there's an insurance agent that's going to play in this space, right, they have to work past 5 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And when you take somebody through underwriting, it's not just like a term insurance policy where you don't even have to get a medical. You have to fill out the application the right way.
Yeah.
You have to be able to design a policy that can be overfunded without creating a taxable event.
Yep.
And AKA a mech.
A mech, right.
Which takes time, it takes experience and a team to be able to do that. And by the way, this has to tie into the client's goals and objectives.
Yes.
So how do you go through that process?
Sure. So after we've identified what the priorities are for the client, right, and understanding where they want to be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, what's their financial freedom roadmap look like, right? And why do they want higher return on their assets? Why do they want the financial freedom? Everybody wants it, but they don't define why they want it, right? So once we understand why they want it and what they've done up until this point, then we stress test what they're already doing.
Okay.
Right? And we show them the impacts of wealth erosion from four factors.
Tell
me. Taxes, inflation, market volatility, and lost opportunity cost. And that's the big one. Lost opportunity cost means that your money's not working hard enough for you. What if you could create a scenario where your money works for you twice, like what Rob talked about before, where you're earning where it came from as much as you're earning where it's going? That's higher velocity, and that's taking risk off the table. That's also defending against future taxes.
Dave just dropped some science, so you want to take that and rewind it back and listen and take notes. But let me try and simplify it. So if somebody's going to save $2,000 a month and they're sitting on $100,000 in cash and they want to be able to use that $100,000 to go buy a piece of real estate.
Sure.
Now, the monthly savings is what we call the baseline premium, which, by the way, we blended. In other words, there's cash value accumulating right away. We're talking about whole life, not IULs.
Yep.
And all you IUL people, I know, like, you talk about the stock market, but you don't talk about the cost of insurance. So I don't even want to have that argument right now. We could save it for another day.
Yeah.
But let's keep it nice and clean.
Yep.
$2,000 a month, there's a beautiful blend.
Yep.
And then there's a dump in. Explain very slowly.
Sure.
They pay the $2,000 a month one, they dump in $100. What happens on day 30 with that $100 for that real estate?
Sure, of course. So
take this, write it down.
Write it down.
Write it down.
The first thing,
write it down.
The first thing is work with a mutual life insurance company.
What that means
is it's not publicly traded. It means that the company is not making decisions for stockholders who have no interest in their product. They just own shares of the company. The mutual life insurance companies focus on their policyholders, right? They pay dividends to the owners of their company, the policyholders, right? So they make their decisions the right way, in my opinion.
So mutual carrier.
Yep.
Mutual. Is it direct or non-direct recognition?
You want to go, in my opinion, with non-direct recognition, because you want a company that has the financial health to be able to continue to pay you a dividend, even when you took a loan against their against the policy of their money, right? You didn't withdraw yours. You took a loan of theirs, right? And they're still going to credit that dividend uninterrupted to you. A direct recognition company is going to reduce it.
I'm not going to name a company, but it's one of the four horsemen. And direct recognition means when you start to borrow money from that policy, you directly get hit in the head.
Yep.
So you don't get the full impact. So what they do is say, oh, go to Valley National Bank and get a life insurance line of credit. a whole extra step just to kind of get that full rate of return once you borrow the dividend. So go to non-direct.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now build out the policy. Non-direct, mutual.
Yep.
They're dumping in $100,000. They're saving $2,000 a month.
Get medically approved. Understand what your medical rating looks like, right? It's like a credit score.
Don't lie in the app, right?
Don't lie in the app.
Don't lie in the app.
Yeah, seriously.
If you had a therapist and they gave you medicine because you wanted to jump off a bridge, make sure that we know that you wanted to jump off a bridge so we could talk
typically
to the,
helps us,
to the underwriters to make sure it's all. And if you got a DWI, you should let us know that too.
Exactly. You get medically approved. We see what we're working with, right? We've gone through a painstaking process of identifying that you can save $2,000 a month because we actually did our homework, you know, but that's besides.
he was about to get even.
So we understand that you can save $2,000 a month. We understand that the liquidity that you have is $100,000 and you wanted to get a better ROI.
So Dave, $2,000 a month. They made their first payment. They're dumping in $100,000 in a non-direct mutual life insurance company.
22 days after the fact that you dumped in that money, you have starting leverage of 90%.
So that means if you dumped in $100,000, you could borrow $90,000.
Correct.
You're going to borrow $90,000 and put it into a piece of real estate.
Yes.
In this example. We're not recommending it. We're just giving an educational example. Don't accuse us of recommending it. Right. They're getting interest on the insurance, which is a guaranteed rate of return plus a dividend.
Yep.
And because Dave said non-direct, that means you're getting the full credit for the dividend.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So now you buy the real estate. For all you real estate folks that are geniuses that understand the game of real estate, you get four different rates of return.
Yep.
Cash flow, mortgage interest write-off, depreciation.
And appreciation.
And you expect it to go higher. Yep. But if you run that money through the insurance first, you get the guarantee plus the dividend.
Yep.
What happens when the renter pays back the policy?
Well, you get they don't pay tax on that, number one. And number two, it's returning back to restore the leverage of the cash value of the policy.
But is that
and
like
it's
a
on
bank,
autopilot.
Is that like a bank getting paid on a mortgage payment?
That's exactly right.
Oh, so that's where you become your own bank and you become the bank.
Literally.
So there's the example. That was the multi-million dollar. It's boring. It takes a long time. It requires discipline. You got to get like a health coach like John O'Connor where you can't just like get, you know, an operation, no offense, to lose weight, but you got to really put in the time. I'm not going to say the calorie count, but what I will say is be able to work out and burn a lot of calories and eat less sugar and not as many Kit Kats, right? If you reduce the Kit Kat intake with Alexa, we're watching as well, you'll go from 284 to 248, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's at like a 60% pass rate.
Where we change our name to Big Protein.
Yeah, we went from Big Sugar to Big Protein. So when it comes down to become your own bank, it's important to understand that, wait a minute, we just talked about real estate, but hold on. What if somebody wants to buy a business?
Oh my.
Or have a email list that they want to buy.
Yeah.
That under or a social media investment into their own company where they can, as you like to say, control their ROI.
Right.
So for example, if David Harder has a business
and
there is a, I don't know, traveling nurses, there's a 300,000 person group in the traveling nurses and they need help educationally when it comes to becoming your own bank.
Yep.
Is that a good investment if you could deliver on the backside?
100%.
And can you measure that investment?
Sure.
If you gave them 4,000 a month for 3 months and you had a webinar or you had appointments that came off of it, can you measure that ROI?
You absolutely can.
And while you're measuring
it
and you're deploying it out of your insurance, you're earning a rate of return in your insurance.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So what about financing your own debt? You know, our partner, Reddy Gardner, he likes to talk, a beautiful analogy. I don't know how to say it the way he does it, but instead of financing a car through Ford, Mercedes, or Toyota, you could finance it through your policy.
Absolutely you can.
Let me just keep it simple and tell me if I'm right or wrong. If I had cash, right?
Yep.
And I bought a $50,000 car, whoop, cash to the car. 5 years later, the cash in the car is worth $25,000.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If I had cash, but I wanted to keep the cash and I had good credit and Ford gave me a loan for that $50,000 car, 5 years later, that car would be worth 25, but I would pay 60 over 5 years. Is that
yeah,
fair?
Because of the interest rate. Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. Now show me where that 60 comes back into your world if you do the policy.
So if you loaned it from the policy and bought the car outright, right? you're earning a 6% dividend or 5 to 6% dividend on that money that you used to buy the car outright inside the policy. But guess what else you're doing? You're avoiding that interest rate that you can't write off, right? That was on the lease or the finance
yep.
on the vehicle. That's being redeployed back to paying back your policy to restore your leverage, yep. right? While you're getting a dividend on that money that was in the car.
So it's actually non-preferred debt.
Correct.
Cars,
yep.
right? Because they depreciate in value.
Yep.
But you could turn it into preferred by using your insurance as a bank.
That's exactly.
Now, all the fiduciaries, the brilliant CFPs that are out there, they're going to get angry over this. But how come you charge a full, I don't know whether it's a half a percent, a percent, or anything on 401ks and IRA, knowing that they're going to get taxed later on by the government, how come you don't remove that side of your fee? How come you still charge for that, even though 30, if not 40% of those portfolios are going to be decimated by the confiscatory nature of the government when it comes to taxation on those plans? How come they don't do that? They're going to tell us we're doing something wrong. But how come they don't understand the balance between wealth management and insurance?
Rob,
why does it have to be one or the other?
If I had a good answer for that, I would give you one. I'm still scratching my head about it.
Because I think it's logical that you just talked about financing a car through a policy, right? Do they think that certain people aren't smart enough to handle the discipline to do that? And that's why people shouldn't do it. Are they like Dave Ramsey, who lives in an $11 million house, but tells you to pay off your credit card debt and save your money and do nothing? Because I know he does leverage liquidity and control. Mm. I know he gets paid by the financial institutions to send that message. So why can't everyone else do that? Are you that special that you're the only one that knows how to be able to kind of become an entrepreneur? There's classes on that now. YouTube University could really show people how to do it. Now, listen, don't quit your day job. Do not quit your day job to go become an entrepreneur. Do not cash in your 401k to go buy a piece of real estate. Certain people could do that. We're not suggesting that, but we're talking about become your own bank. We're talking about how to get multiple uses of each and every dollar through the process of understanding how to integrate and coordinate your assets. And by the way, if you integrate and coordinate your insurance with your wealth, your after-tax wealth management account, a lot of magical things can happen there, because if it's properly managed, fees reduced, diversified, all of a sudden you have cash value, you have lines of credit on your wealth management account, and now you're picking up 6 or 7 different alternative investments over here. In my opinion, that's how you compound your wealth, not compound a specific product.
Right.
Anything else you want to leave these folks with that we forgot?
It's
going down the mountain.
That's exactly where I was going. About to go down this mountain.
Take them down the mountain.
You know, the bottom line.
Take them down the mountain.
Is what Rob said is so freaking true.
With a smooth trail.
100%.
We're not going like this, the Black Diamond. We're just going down the mountain.
The bottom line is that when you take a well-managed, fee-reduced wealth management portfolio and combine it with life insurance, you're creating for your client a permission slip to spend their wealth without having the concern of market volatility, right? Imagine if people retired and it was January 1st of 2022 and they're starting to spend. Boy, that would have been ugly, you know?
Ooh.
Had you adopted some of these principles that we were looking at, your client probably would not have been in the same predicament, worried about spending something that depreciated, because they'd already be spending it at a higher rate, knowing that that money was protected by a good old death benefit of a life insurance policy. Yeah, Dave Ramsey talks about term and invest the difference all the time.
Termite.
What happens when that freaking expires?
Termite. Right?
And people start spending their money and then they lose 25% on their portfolio.
Termite.
And guess what? They went from $1 million down to $300,000.
Termite.
Now what are they going to do? They're going
Termite.
Back to Home Depot.
Termite.
It's what they're going to do because they have to.
Termite.
That's not so. Anyway, pisses me off.
Yeah, no, but listen, I love it.
Yeah.
But you said so many great things there. When I think about, and I look at the kryptonites and I look at the termites.
Yeah.
Like these are like just insanity it's inside the investment world in such bizarre ways. Yeah. When it comes down to the system of thinking.
Yes.
When it comes down to the discipline of right hand speaking to the left hand. All the planners being on the same page, the epic wealth builder where people can look at all their data one time, real time at the click of a button, stress test certain things that that may want to step into certain investment opportunities.
Yeah.
These are all real important. And by the way, in my opinion, at least in my experience, nothing happens overnight. It's 10 years in the making, overnight success. But there were so many things you just touched on right there where you talked about going down the mountain. You talked about the death benefit being spent down in life,
yep,
knowing the death benefit could be replaced. So in other words, if I have a term policy with a $3 million death benefit that expires when I'm 65 versus a whole life policy blended with some IUL, okay, that has a $3 million death benefit, you could spend that death benefit down in your other assets knowing a death benefit is going to replace what you spent.
That's exactly right.
And that does reduce
that's
the taxable estate.
Right.
No? Now listen, I'm not going to beat up these state attorneys.
Yeah.
But they can't wait to put some, CFPs, they can't wait to put something in a trust.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They get paid
yeah.
for the trust.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying don't put the insurance in the trust. What I am saying, though, is the unlimited marital deduction allows for the surviving spouse to get everything tax-free. I like to know the statistic of folks that husband and wife that actually pass away simultaneously.
Probably pretty low.
Because that is the risk of putting everything in a trust. Now, obviously, if there's a divorce, it's different.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
correct.
While everyone's married, I'm not sure if I want to jump in and just, you know, play the game of, yeah, the estate just got grossed up and everyone's going to suffer financially. Let's really have a deeper conversation. And more importantly, let's understand the behavior of who the client is.
Mm.
If it's somebody conservative, my answer is yes all day long. If it's somebody that likes to leverage their insurance, well, hold on. Let's make sure we could access. And if you could show me we could access all the money, that's another conversation.
Sure.
But if we're going to talk deep planning, just because somebody has the word CFP doesn't mean they understand alternative investments.
That's 100% right. Right. Yeah.
So take that right. and rewind it back. And listen, I get it. The significance, funny bone. Don't let them mess with you too much. It's all about working with the other folks. You don't have all the answers, I promise you. You think you do, but you don't. If you have the estate attorneys, if you have the accountants, if you have the trust officers, and there's an understanding for the client's benefit, I'm all in. But if you're going to pick and choose and isolate the conversations and kind of make it all about a singular, you know, you get paid because you're a consultant, so you got to find things that are wrong, mm-hmm. then in my opinion, you're creating a challenge. You're creating a challenge that's not necessary. Anyway, anything else? Because you did really good as far as sharing these things. Anything I'm missing right now?
No, I think I just want to build off of what you said before about mindset. This
yep.
is all adoption of different philosophies that actually work, by the way. But it's adoption of different philosophies. It's unlearning things that have been impressed upon you. And, you know, from where I sit,
yeah.
correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. when you build a bank also, don't you like drive commissions down a little bit?
Yes. 100%.
Like a lot of it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But haven't we solved the marketing problem? We don't have to worry about that even a little bit?
Yeah, no. I think what Dave's saying is that because we've created some relationships that drive traffic to us, we are not the typical insurance agent. As a matter of fact, we get paid less per policy because of how we structure things.
Correct.
And that's because of the abundance of opportunities, which means you, the client, you're getting the best possible strategy based on your goals and objectives, based on what you share with us, that sits and fits with your core value if you're an entrepreneur on how to really overfund these policies. And by the way,
exactly right.
If you have any questions, ask below. If you have any suggestions for videos, please let us know. If you want to learn more about, you know, having a one-on-one sit down with one of the folks here at Epic, go ahead and click that link below. You know, put all your information in there, ask the question that you have. By the way, continue to like and always hit that subscribe button, because whenever a new video pops up, you're going to hear that bell. And we're here dropping educational content on a daily basis. Ken, thank you enough for checking us out. And Dave, thanks you for being part of the show.
Always,
appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.